Taken here, we've been taking for some time a look in the scriptures about the ministers of our Lord, pastors, preachers, deacons, teachers, missionaries. And we have this instruction in the scripture, and it's pretty widespread. I mean, there's some books about it and some epistles written to some men and some qualifications that are here. And we need to know about these things. We need to know about what the Lord tells the men of God to preach and to the flocks that he's given them to pastor. And by that, we can learn what's important for each and every one of us to abide by as his children and as his children in his churches. We're taking a look here at Brother Titus and the epistle that Brother Paul is writing to Brother Titus. Last time we left off in Titus chapter 2, verse number 15. We want to take a look at something here that maybe you've wondered about this. There's been in times past I've wondered about these words and, well, what does it mean? How does it apply? What's the application of such to us? Again, we review these things in the scriptures and you say, well, Brother Jim, I'm never going to be a pastor. And if you're a woman, that's right. If you're a man that's qualified, you just don't know. You may be. The Lord might call a man to preach, might call a man to pastor that's qualified, to be a deacon, to be a missionary. Sometime it may be at Olmsted Baptist Church might need to call another pastor. And you need to know what the Lord says about that. And so we all need to know. This isn't a subject that we're off the hook on. So, well, that doesn't apply to me. I don't need to listen to that. No, we all have a piece or responsibility, a part in it. As the Lord's children here in his church, for sure. The apostle, as we see at the close of this chapter 2, he talks about looking for the blessed hope in verse number 13. For the glorious and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. We mentioned how that word peculiar is a way that that's defined as beyond being usual, a people that stand out, not in the strictest sense a curious people, although that could apply, but not a as we would say a weird people, not a ill-behaved people. It's not talking about that, but a people that are beyond usual. Beyond being usual, zealous of good works. The apostle affirms to our brother and to us, these things speak, let it be a part of what you say, your conversation. Exhort as you preach and rebuke. Sometimes the children of God in his churches are going to need to be corrected. And then the man of God is called to do that in preaching and maybe even one-on-one counsel from time to time. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Why? Because it doesn't matter that it doesn't, what Jim Duke doesn't mean anything. What Jim Duke says doesn't mean anything. But what God has said means everything to all of us. And that's the authority. That's where the authority is. It's not in the man, it's in the Lord and his word. Let no man despise thee. Have you ever wondered about those words there? Let no man despise thee. Let no man despise thee. The scripture here uses this word despise. And what this word despise defined is to think beyond. That's one of the definitions of this word despise, is to think beyond. Let no man think beyond concerning thee. That really doesn't help us out much, does it? If we take a look at another definition of the word or along the line, it means to contemn. To contemn. And I like this, when the definition of the word is the same word that it is, to despise. Well, it goes on, a definition of this word contemn, and that's C-O-N-T-E-M-N. To have contempt towards. If we take a look further at that definition of that word, is to scorn. And we understand about scorn. You and I have been scorned in times past, and we've probably scorned others. We've run them in the ground with our words. We've thrown words at them to hurt them that are sharp and dig. Another definition of this, to contemn or to despise, is to slight. You ever slight anybody? Mentioned that here some time ago when in our fellowship, you know, if you and I come into the room and we're used to greeting one another, and you know, we're used to shaking hands and greeting one another, but we get right there to one another and then we turn away. We've slighted one another. And that's hurtful, isn't it? That's hurtful. To slight, to despise, to scorn, to slight. Here you go. This helps us out even more. To neglect is unworthy. Just don't rate. You know, we meet or we're around one another, and there you are and there I am, and we pass very closely. I tell you what, as a pastor, in just a few years that I've been pastoring and been in the ministry and that, I've seen this happen, where brothers and sisters in Christ in a church would neglect one another. They come that close and never greet or never shake hands. Tell you what, as a pastor, that's hurtful to see. To neglect, to say, you're just not on my radar screen. Then that be a respecter of persons and say, well, I like this one and I like this one and I'm glad to see this one, but this one over here, I just don't give a lick about them. Tell you what, the love of Christ is not in us doing that. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we all have the backgrounds that we've come from, we all have the baggage that we have, we all have the life experiences that we have, but you know what? It's level at the foot of the cross. And a brother and sister in Christ is a brother and sister in Christ, period. And I have things that I do and say that get on your nerves, and it happens to one to another. But you know what? When those things happen, we need to pray one for another. If it gets so bad, we need to go to one another. Just one-on-one. Try to get those things settled and those straight. But we never need to despise one another or to neglect one another as unworthy. Because there is no soul, no child of God that is unworthy from the standpoint of being redeemed by the Lord and having value in His sight. And that's the view that we need to have. Let no man despise thee, the apostle writes to Brother Timothy. That word despise can mean to neglect as unworthy. To reject with disdain. To think one is just not worthy of my communication, my fellowship, my help, my consideration. And so the apostle tells Brother Timothy, don't let any man do that to you. Isn't that odd? It is odd as we look on that. How can you keep somebody that wants to despise you from despising you? How can you do that? How can you do that? How can you keep somebody? Well, see, I don't think that Brother Paul is writing to Brother Timothy and Brother Titus, rather, and to us to tell him to just don't allow. You arrest the situation always with men and women, and you get a hold of them and their motivation and that. You just don't let them despise you. I don't think he's saying that, because the thing is, there's no preacher, there's no pastor that can stop the thoughts of others. Can't do it. We can't stop one another's thoughts. And now just a little segue here. Just a little rabbit. Let's chase a little rabbit here. Brothers and sisters, do not live life worrying and thinking about what other people think about you. We are to be in good reputation and witness. But you and I need to live being concerned about what Jesus thinks about us. And we don't want to be a stumbling block. And we don't want to be a detriment or hurt to anyone. We but want to be a good witness of Christ unto all, our brothers and sisters in Christ and to the unsaved. But do not live life looking out for what somebody else thinks. Worry about what your Lord thinks. And look to be like Jesus unto everyone that you meet. And you'll be okay. Don't be worried about trying to figure out what other people are thinking about you. Have you ever heard this statement? I know you must think. You know, don't live life like that. Follow what the Lord says. Be a manifester of the fruit of the Spirit. Be one that's adding to the faith that the Lord's given to you and represent your Lord well. I'm not talking about being brash. I'm not talking about being rough. I'm not talking about being without meekness and coming in and just elbows slinging and slamming. I'm not talking about not being of good behavior. We need to be behaved well. We need to have manners. We need to be following the Spirit of our Lord. But we do not need to be living life worrying about what we think others might be thinking. We need to be worried and concerned about what our Lord thinks. And everybody else will be right there where they need to be. Let no man despise thee. Is there any way a pastor or preacher can stop the thoughts of others? No, there's no way. There's no way. So what can it be? Well, how about this? Let no man despise thee. How about this? Do not let their despising of you affect you. I think we're on to something there. Because see, it's always going to be, as you and I hold forth the Lord Jesus Christ and hold forth his gospel, even as his children, or the man of God, the minister of God, the pastors of the Lord would hold forth the truth of the Lord. What did Jesus say? There's been a rejection of me, and they will sure well reject you. If they've done this to the master, they will certainly do so to the servant. Right? Our Lord was despised and rejected. As we mentioned this morning, and those women, as the Lord is walking up to Calvary there, and those women are weeping, you know, Jesus says, don't weep over me. You weep over your own children. You weep over your own children. Jesus was despised and rejected in every way. Is it a surprise that we would be despised and rejected by the world? And the thing is, again, I say this often, I feel like I should, that let me qualify it, let me be clear on it. We don't need to be going out to stir people up against us. There are those that operate and live that way. You've known some possibly that if they don't have people in the world riled up at them, then they're not serving the Lord. Well, we don't need to go out and rile people up for the sake of riling people up. We need to just go out and represent Christ well. And those that will be riled, they'll get riled. Don't let their despising of you, their vehemence towards you, don't let that get you down, Brother Titus. What do you think about the folks there at Crete? It's been laid out before us how they are. The Cretans, as said, one of their poets said, are always slow bellies, evil beasts. Man, I mean, that's pretty sharp. You can read it there in chapter 1. I mean, those are some pretty sharp words, aren't they? The Cretans are always liars. I left that out. Evil beasts, slow bellies. You know what the apostle says? This witness is true. There's going to be those he's going to run into, maybe even claiming that they're the children of God, and they're going to despise the brother. They're going to set him at naught. They're going to think that he's unworthy of their company and reject him for the truth that he is bringing to them of how God says that the children of God should operate, how the churches of the Lord should operate. And then there's the heathen, the unbelievers that will just, what did they do to Jesus? There was one case where the Lord Jesus went in and said, the damsel's not dead, she sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But sure enough, she was just sleeping, wasn't she? I mean, against the power of the Lord. To you and me, she was dead. But he told the truth, didn't he? He told the truth. He said, don't let it affect you. Jesus was not affected by those that despised him. He bore it, and you know what he did? He went on. There's the Lord's faithfulness. The example of the Lord's faithfulness to you and me. There will be persecution. Yea, all that will live godly shall suffer persecution. The live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, won't they? You and I haven't suffered much. Not in this country. We've been blessed. I pray if in our lifetime, if it ever gets stiffer, I pray the Lord to give us what we need to be true to the Lord and in a right, cheerful patience continue on in our Lord. May the Lord help us. Let no man despise thee. How about this? There's no way, number one, we've considered, there's no way that a preacher or a pastor can stop the thoughts of others. You can't prevent someone from despising you. But you know what? We cannot allow their despising of us or the minister of God or the people of God to affect us. You know, we always need to be looking to Jesus. If we're being obedient to our Lord and we're following him, we're repenting before him when we fail and asking him for strength and power, you know, the blessing and the smile of the Lord is upon his people. He'll never leave us or forsake us. You know what happens to us sometimes? Circumstance and situation. I tell you what, I am subject to it just as much as anybody is. Circumstance, situation, maybe those around us, folks we encounter and come in contact with, or something will go haywire, somebody will do us wrong or dirty. You know what will happen sometimes to us? We'll let somebody doing us wrong affect our relationship with our Lord Jesus. Why does that make sense to us? I just give this as an example. So-and-so did me dirty, I'm not going to service. What sense does that make? Lord Jesus didn't do you dirty. He didn't do me dirty. He didn't run me down. Somebody else did. Minister of the Lord, a minister, a pastor. I've heard this when I came here pastoring. You learn different things from different ones. And I don't mean this in a bad way, but I thought it odd why I'm being told this account. And then in time it came clear what it was. Some preacher years ago offended some in my family. They haven't darkened the door of a church house since. Well, what did Jesus have to do with whether they told him the truth or whether they were running them down? What's that got to do with coming and worshiping the Lord? Understand what's going on, folks. We meet here together in this place that's dedicated for the Lord to worship him. And Jesus has not done a one of us wrong or dirty. And if brother or sister so-and-so has done me bad or done me wrong or done me dirty, has Jesus done me wrong or done me dirty? You see what I'm saying? I can let their despising of me cause me to take it out on the Lord. Back off from the calling from the Lord. But what has the Lord ever done bad to me, to you? Nothing. He's always done good by us. But yet, you know what? Isn't it something? The Lord who loves us the most and who we are to love the most seems to be the one that we take it out on the most. Amen? Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the way? No, let no man despise thee. There's no way we can affect what they think. There's no way we can change or stop the thoughts of others. Number two, may the Lord help us that we not let their despising affect us. Let no man despise thee. Number three, Brother Titus, Brother Jim, do not make it so by your poor behavior that they may have reason to despise you. Tell you what, I think that one's top of the list, don't you think? Be the man of God from the context of the passage. Be the man of God following the word of the Lord and what the calling of the Lord is, and stand true in that. Represent your Lord well. Manifest the fruit of the Spirit, yet stand in what the Lord has given in His word, and don't give people a just reason to despise you. Because a man can he? A man can. A man that's a pastor can take a church, and as it was, the extreme of this, he can take a church and use it for his own benefit. Just like the shepherds that were called there in the Old Testament, I think in Ezekiel we have some accounts there. Isaiah maybe, about the shepherds. They're not tending to the flock. They're not tending to the sheep. All they're interested in is what they can get from the sheep. You know what? A man that's in that business can certainly give a lot of people a lot of reason to despise him. See why a pastor needs your prayers? Let no man despise thee. As the Lord's children, we can't affect what anybody thinks, can we? But we can let their despising affect us, and may we not do so. Somebody does you dirty, somebody calls you a bad name, somebody rails on you, runs you down. You know what you and I need to do? Always, we need to forgive them. And we need to pray for them. We've done it. And I pray and trust that the Lord's changed us. They need the same thing that we need. And don't let it affect us. As the children of God, remember that message I preached some time ago about how Satan accuses the children of God before the Father? And how the point of that message was, is how much ammunition do we give Satan out of our mouth and by our actions to allow him and give him fodder to go before our Lord and accuse us before him? Look how Jim's been acting, and you say he's your son? Look how he's dealing with his supposed brothers and sisters in Christ, and he's your child? I mean, that's what's going on. And Satan's listening. He may accuse in lies, but how much is it that we've done and said that is legitimate and true that shouldn't have been said even in private? Because Satan hears in private too. Now Satan doesn't know what you're thinking, but Satan knows everything you and I say. He and his minions, if they're close and around. Satan's not omnipresent like the Lord. But I tell you what, he's probably got ambassadors that pass through the house. And may the Lord help us that we not do anything and give anyone reason that they despise us, they slight us, or they neglect us as unworthy because of our poor behavior. In chapter 3, the apostle tells Brother Titus, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. You know what? There's an order in the world. It's just that way. There's an order in life. It talks to us about that over in 1 Corinthians, about the order that there is. God the Father is over Christ, and Christ is over man, and a man is over his wife, and the children are subject to the parents. And in there, by what the Lord has ordained and the three different institutions that there are, what are the institutions? The family and government and the church. There's subjection that we are subject to in those two. And we're subject to the government. Whether the government be poor or the government may be blessed, we're subject to the government. You know, you and I, as members of Olmsted Baptist Church, are subject one to another here in the church. I have a responsibility as your pastor to tell you the truth, but we are all subject one to another. You know, I'm subject to the church as the pastor. I'm not the boss. I'm the leader. But I'm not the boss. Jesus is the boss. He's our leader indeed, isn't he? I'm the under shepherd. There in Crete, you reckon they had trouble submitting to authority? The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. May the Lord help us that we be subject to the principalities and powers that we are to be subject to. To obey magistrates, that's getting right down there at the government level. The mention of principalities and powers, how would it be for a church not to be subject to Christ? What kind of mess would you have there, huh? And it happens, doesn't it? Churches that we've known of over the land that were started out right and good solid churches, going back to the 19th century, say, that is a good ways for us in our lifetime, but it's in the scheme of antiquity and time, it hadn't been that long ago. A church the other day that I saw that was established in 18-something-something-something, and most likely they don't believe what they believed then. They're not subject to Christ anymore, if that's the case. Following his teaching, they've taken up another teaching, a teaching of men. We need to be subject to our Lord. We need to be subject to our God and our Savior. We need to be subject to the magistrates, the government, to be ready to every good work. Every good work. It says here in chapter 1, in verse number 16, here's a contrast that's made, talking about the Cretans and those that are wayward and against the way of the Lord that are there. They profess that they know God, and how they do that with their mouth. But in what they do, where they walk, and what they say, they deny him. These are so bad that they're being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. But the children of God, we're to be ready to every good work. Are you ready to work? You want to grab a hold of a work that you can do? We're talking about in the church, about things that we can do for outreach here in our region and our community and beyond. Are you ready to grab a hold of something there that you can do to help in that effort? If we don't do it, it won't get done. Are we ready for a good work? Brother Jim, it's a busy schedule already. I know it's busy. I know. But is there something that the Lord would have us to do? We need to be ready to grab a hold and pursue those good works. To speak evil of no man. I want you to think about this. I promised you that we would get here. To speak evil of no man. This word evil is talking about to vilify or to defame or to revile, as we've talked about up there in chapter 2, verse number 15, as a brother addressed Brother Titus, let no man despise thee. It's along that line. Speak evil of no man. What do you think about that? He says, speak evil of no man. But yet he quotes a prophet over here in chapter 1 and verse number 12. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. How do you reconcile that? Speak evil of no man. We are not to make up things on people. And we are not to run people in the ground just because we don't like them. But you know what? Sometimes we have to warn our children about the wayward behavior of others. Sometimes a pastor has to warn the church that he's responsible for and pastors about the behavior and influence of others. And you know what? Painting the true picture painting the true picture many times is really ugly. But because of a personality conflict, or there's nothing true or unscriptural that's at hand, but I just don't like the way that person looks or the way their demeanor is, or nothing wrong about their behavior, or we just don't click. I'm not, as a child of God, as a minister of God, make a case against them. Make a case against them to run them down to make me look better. I'm not supposed to speak evil of any man. Not to vilify them. We're not to vilify them. Not to revile them or defame them. But if there is a true thing and there is a danger, we are to tell the truth. May the Lord help us and give us understanding in that. Put them in mind to be subject unto principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man. In closing, I just want to touch over here, and I missed this in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's take a look over here what Brother Paul wrote to Brother Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. He told Brother Timothy, Brother Titus, younger than Paul, possibly. Brother Timothy, certainly younger than Paul. Brother Titus had been known by Brother Paul for decades, most likely at the time of this writing, if we understand it correctly. Brother Timothy, a younger man, he writes to him here in regards to what we touched on in the previous chapter there in Titus. 1 Timothy 4, verse number 11, "These things command and teach," kind of like he told Titus, "let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." Just because Brother Timothy was young doesn't mean that he wasn't called. And just because Brother Timothy was young doesn't mean that he wasn't to be a pastor that he'd been called into. The thing is he couldn't prevent anybody about what they would think about being him, he being a young man. But what he needed to be careful about is not let their despising of him being a young man affect him, and to make sure that he didn't give them cause in his youth to give them reason to despise him. So may the Lord help us in these things. And Lord willing, we'll pick up here and see about these other instructions unto us, even here in our day. If you're here and you're not saved, this really hadn't been a message to those that are here and not saved. We point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need the Lord Jesus Christ, and we point you to him. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, him and his gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul. Without Christ, you have no hope. That's it. He's the Savior of the world. There's no second string, third string, fourth string Savior. There's the Savior. That's it. And you need him.